This article is entitled simply Grace, and it's being developed from the text in Galatians 1 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul speaks to the Christians at his time, the congregation of Galatia, and he says, I marvel that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in grace of Christ to a different good news. That word grace, which is in all Bibles, is an archaic word that most Christians realize means undeserved kindness and or unmerited kindness. We chose to use grace because we see it so often in the scriptures, but also for another very practical reason is because there are certain groups of Christians that dislike the word grace. They don't use it, and in fact, it's actually offensive to them. It's just a pretty word that allows for false Christians, they believe, to get away with doing whatever they choose in the name of Christ. And some of that may be true, or even all of that. It doesn't matter. The question has to be addressed for those actually loving the truth that the Christian Greek scriptures are replete with the use of the word grace. So rather than just ignoring the word altogether as though it don't exist or giving an entirely different meaning to it, really changes the very foundation of the truth of Christ. So what happens when we lose grace? And I won't keep repeating the undeserved kindness or unmerited kindness of God. Well, subsequently, if that happens, and we make a concerted effort not to use the word or to apply it within our own faith, then we no longer stand in it. We are standing in something entirely different. And when Christians fear that word so greatly because they believe it has misled so many people, then they're no longer teaching a central truth of God's word, the Bible. They've actually left off the teaching of the good news unwittingly. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, for I say, once again the Apostle Paul speaking, and in context, the book of Romans is a debate over that old law that had no grace, and the new covenant, which was established by grace, undeserved kindness, or unmerited kindness. So Paul says, for I say, through the grace that was given me, well, that's something that's important. Grace is obviously a gift. It's not something that we can get ourselves. To every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, and that would only be true if what is in Christ is gifts, if they are earned and they're not unmerited or undeserved, then they would think more highly of themselves. But to think reasonably, and we can only do that if we're in the grace of God, as God has apportioned to each person a measure of faith. Well, that's stunning. Not only is the gift of grace from God so that we can even stand in Christ, but it also measures out to each one of us a portion of faith. That is how Christians then become reasonable and do not think more of themselves than is necessary. Romans 5 and verse 21 says that as sin reigned, ruled as king in death, even so grace rules as king, might reign through righteousness, and of course that would be the righteousness of Christ and not the old righteousness of the law that had no grace. So it says, reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Christ our Lord. That word grace then is the truth, the central theme of how we come into Christ and receive our faith. So what happens when we find grace, a dirty word, or we just totally ignore it and hardly ever say it out of fear that it might be misinterpreted? Well, what happens is nothing. Certainly not Christ or the truth, which we know Christ is the truth for Christians. Without grace, then we have no faith, so that makes it impossible to please God and to stand in Christ, does it not? Thus, we don't have his mind, which is also a gift. We don't have God's mind. We have been given Christ's mind, which teaches us by Holy Spirit the truth of God. Without grace, that is unmerited kindness and or undeserved kindness, we are self-righteous. We're not in the righteousness of Christ. And we have not been made righteous by Christ's righteousness, which is a gift. That is exactly what the word undeserved kindness means. And unmerited is something that cannot be earned. Romans 5 and verse 17, written again in context of those two laws, so that we can understand them as Christians, states, for if by trespass, of one person, that would be Adam, death ruled or reigned as king through that one, so much more were those who have received the abundance of grace, not a little, not avoided, hardly ever talked about, never preached, the abundance of grace and of the gifts, or the gift of righteousness, reigned in life through the one person, and that would be Jesus Christ. So we know grace is not just a pretty word that Christians utter in some 17th century language so that they may sound righteous or like the apostles. Nor can we avoid it. The use of the central theme of the Greek scriptures, unmerited kindness, undeserved kindness, and or grace, because somebody believes it that the word has been misused and it makes them part of some Babylonish religion. When frankly, if the person is honest, there has never been a word within the scriptures that hasn't been misused by someone at some time or an entire group of people. So that's no excuse to tear those pages out, cross them out, and never speak of the central theme of Christ, which is grace, through whom we also have our access by faith into grace. And how do we stand? Now, please understand this. We stand because of unmerited kindness. We stand because of undeserved kindness. And that word is grace. That's how we stand. We have no standing if we don't have that. So because we stand, and because we don't have to earn it, and it is a free gift, with not our works, we have a hope. We rejoice in that hope of the very glory of God. So actually, grace is the only power that a Christian has. It is essential to eternal life, and without grace, there will be no eternal life for any one of us. Grace is the power of God's love, and that love is an expression of the very truth of our Father who is love. So grace, unlike any other thing that could possibly be stated, helps us to start understanding and appreciating that God is love and not an old law that has no grace in it. It did have some mercy, but it did not have grace in it, so that we could never get out from underneath death. Without grace, we simply are not going to be able to understand God's law whatsoever. So when we move away from that grace, that unmerited kindness, that undeserved kindness, we are going into another good news. Unwittingly, or if we make a concerted effort to avoid that subject, we have become fleshly in our thinking. And what is in our flesh can never save us. There's no good work in that flesh when the Bible teaches that that very thought, that those in the flesh cannot please God. So we cannot earn anything in this flesh. The gift of God is Christ Jesus, and through God's undeserved kindness given to us, not our own undeserved kindness, not our own grace, but through that unmerited kindness, something we're unable to earn, we actually stand in Christ. Now, do we honestly understand that, and is that what our religion is teaching? Now, to him who works, the reward is not counted as grace, but as a debt. That's taken from Romans 4 and verse 4. So let's take a minute on that. Now, to him who works, that would be a person that believes that they can do enough good on this earth that they can stand before God. The problem with that is no sinner can stand before God. It requires God to do something, not us. There's never enough good work that we can stand before God. And we'll make this plain and we'll make it very simple. When Adam sinned, along with his wife, they were both put out of God's works, they were put out of God's kindness, and they ended up in their own because that's what they wanted, to choose what was right and wrong in their life, or good and evil, and they ended up in thistles. They ended up in a terrible situation that their own thinking brought them into death. The only way out of that death is by not working. Adam could have built another paradise earth, tried to. He could have spent the rest of his life in repenting and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm going to build you a temple. But he would never, at the end of that day, his life, ever had worked himself out of that sin. Once a sinner, a person will always be a sinner unless God does something through his own kindness to change that. And it is literally the miracle of truth. So we're going to read that again. Now, to him who works, the reward is not counted as grace, but as a debt. And of course, the caveat is a death that cannot be repaid. So when We speak constantly as Christians about commandments, about preaching, meeting attendance, judging God's unmerited kindness by how well a person follows the rules, which the two just contradicted themselves. We have fallen from grace. And we need to understand that. Do we understand that? We don't stand in Christ by any merit in us because we are sinner. That is a plain, simple message of the entire Greek scripture. That is the message of the Bible. That is the good news. We cannot stand before God's judgment seat as a sinner and understand that Christ and God are both love. It is by grace that expresses God's love to us in such a gift that it can only be described as undeserved. Do you actually know why? Well, again, in the book of Romans, it deals exactly with that subject in context, explaining basically the superiority of what the Christians had received over what the Jews and many Christians wanted to use the old covenant instead of the new. Paul then says in Romans 11, verse 6, "And if by grace, if it is by grace, then it's no longer of works." Can't be. You can't work and have grace. Grace is a gift. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. In other words, let's break this down and make it a little more simple. If grace is not undeserved and it's not unmerited, which many Christians teach, then it's not grace. Subsequently, if that word does not apply here, the true meaning of what grace or unmerited kindness is, or undeserved kindness, then we have to change the meaning of the word works, correct? Works aren't really works. They're just a word. We can sit and do absolutely nothing and say we're doing works. So you can't have it both ways. It's either yes or no. Grace is something that cannot be earned. It is a gift of God, and or it's not. Anything in between those two points is where Christ warned us is where the wicked one lives. And that's precisely where most Christians are, in between the subject of grace and the subjects of works. They think they found a safe middle ground, which is actually complete darkness, and where Satan wants them exactly. Now, here's the reason because we pose that question. It is because no one, not one sinner, can stand before God and boldly declare they are not a sinner. No person can say before God, now they may want to do it before man, publicly in prayer or by the way they move their hands in righteous gestures or the way they have their clothes so perfectly pressed or because they do certain things that Christians are expected to do, attend certain meetings, believe a certain way, and say certain ways, certain things. But no person can stand in God's presence before the holy angels and the Son of God and say, "I am righteous by my works." The works that I have done for God has earned me the gift of eternal life. If a person believes that, and sadly, so many do, but absolutely refuse to admit they do, and are absolutely taught that daily within their religion, they are in the biggest lie that has ever been perpetrated upon the human race. Now, many are looking for the kingdom of God to come, and they have been for thousands of years. They've had hundreds of prophecies, none of which have come true, that has destroyed the faith of billions of people on the planet Earth, made God's word, made him a complete mockery because of their dire warnings and believing they're speaking for God because of the lust, the feelings of their own flesh, only to be proven wrong time and time again. They have not even had the basic teachings of the scriptures before they move on, and they think they're doing the deep things of God by these prophecies. Now here's what they've missed. In Hebrews 12, verse 28, Paul is telling those brothers and sisters the very thing Christ told them, that if they're in Christ, they have eternal life, and they've received the kingdom of God, because ultimately Christ is that kingdom. Now, if all that's true, then Hebrews makes perfect sense in verse 28. It says, therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, every other kingdom on this earth since Christ is shaken, has been shaken, and will continue to be shaken, but not Christ's kingdom. It's not of this world. So if that's true, if we have received Christ, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And how have we done that? Here's the key point. Let us have grace. Because that is the way we serve God acceptably. And because we are serving God acceptably, through unmerited, undeserved kindness, grace, we have reverence and awe, because it is a gift that we cannot pay back, and it is stunning, and it keeps us in God's love, and it also keeps us humble, and also stops our mouth from making faulty predictions because we are still in our flesh. So let us stop and think here for a moment and repeat. I'm sorry, because we have to repeat things and get the context. We stand in the righteous life of Christ Jesus because he paid for our sins by his life. We could not stand in any righteousness except our own because we are sinners. Thus, God removed that judgment by his undeserved kindness. Thus, we stand in that undeserved kindness. And of course, I've used the word grace here to offend people because I know how offensive it is to certain groups. Do we actually understand that? So when we never think about grace, and that is undeserved kindness, and talk to other people about God's, we never talk to other people about God's unmerited kindness, just the kingdom, just about our truth, just about our religion and everything else, because we have got this in our mind that it has nothing to do with the scriptures. It's something that false religion uses because it seems so weak, does it not? We have, unwittingly, and may God have mercy on us, fallen from grace. We are then in works of law, and no matter how you cut it, trying to earn your own salvation, and you can prove this to yourself if you are honest. One day you do good, you do proper works, you do everything correctly, and you think you have a better standing with God, and of course the next day you don't, and you feel depressed because you think you could have done better. You're doing it by works of law. You're not in grace any longer. You think you can earn by your own merit, just like the world does. You show up to work, you do the job, that earns you a paycheck. That's the way you think of God, and that's the way you've been taught God, and that is some other good news. It is not the good news of the scriptures you claim to love, nor it is the good news of Christ. Thus, in context, Hebrews 13 and verse 9 will finally make sense to you. It's not speaking about a religion. It's speaking about falling from grace. That's the entire argument of the book of Hebrews, the Old Covenant and the New, one having no grace and the other one full of grace and love, which speaks about Christ when he came to earth. So he's telling us, don't be carried away by various strange teachings. Anything outside of grace, because that's what Christ is a strange teaching. It has nothing to do with the good news. For it is good that the heart be established by what? Doing more works of laws, reading your Bible more, spending more time at meetings, trying to speak more like a Christian, maybe walk more like a Christian, dress more like a Christian. No. Our hearts should be established in one point, grace, the unmerited kindness of God. It cannot be established by the types of food that we eat, by the things we are saying. Those things do not benefit anybody except ourselves in some form of self-rightness, where indeed the word self-righteousness came. We think we are righting ourselves by doing those things before God, when the only way we can right ourselves and be righteous before God is by His undeserved kindness. So rather than examining our brothers by the law to see what sin they're doing, thinking that if we apply the law, that's going to take sin out of that person, which is an absolute lie as well. Hebrews 12 in verse 15 tells us we need to look carefully at ourselves, lest there be any man or woman who falls short of what? Works of law? Didn't show up at enough meetings to prove that they're in good standing? Didn't do this, didn't do that to prove that they're part of us? No, lest they fall short of God's grace. And they move into trying to do those kinds of work to think that they're justified by those works, thinking for a moment that it puts them in better standing. That is self-rightness. Lest any root of bitterness springs up, trouble for you, and many will be defiled by it. So if we go into works of law and compare ourselves against other people in the flesh, we are back in that cursed ground, and it will be nothing but bitter, because people will always let us down, and they will always demand that we do something to earn their respect, to earn their love. And quite frankly, you may just be put out of that group if you do not stand in grace and in Christ, which should be the most important thing in your life. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore draw near, and we can be bold in doing this, in boldness, to where? To a group of people that's going to accept us? To a particular standard, rules, commandments, and laws? No, to the throne. Now we have the very throne of God, which Christ is sitting on, the throne of grace, unmerited kindness. Stop and really think about that, that we may receive mercy and find what again? Kindness, undeserved, unmerited, not by our works, grace. And for what purpose? So that God may give us the help at the needed time. Not waiting until we get things perfect and quit doing this and quit doing that, and then finally God steps in and helps us. No, that's not a Bible doctrine. And for many that have found themselves absolutely kicked out of a group, found that they actually had a sin that they weren't able to get rid of, and yet, despite them very selves, God continues to work with them kindly and help them minute to minute and day to day. They simply can't understand it, and yet it is proved by the very fact of what's happening in them. and God's kindness towards them, because they are so stuck in works of law, their very mind rejects the kindness of God. Yes, we can say that grace is very offensive to the hard-driven Christian who loves to boast in their flesh, in their own righteousness, by things that they have done or are doing, and things that they have approved, and those things that they say are acceptable by the works that they're doing, which they claim to be God's work. Yes, and here's the truth. God's grace, unmerited kindness that cannot be boasted in, is a free gift, strips those that are proud of heart in their so-called wonderful education, their so-called perfect religion, their so-called perfect knowledge, their so-called great research that only brings gains to the pride of their flesh. Grace is a gift. And if it is a gift and it's given to all, not by if they've done good or bad or color or education or position or what group they're in, if it's a gift, then one cannot boast. Oh, that's like the fool who boasts that they're born into some family as thinking they had a choice in it, or somehow they were so special they were born into a better family than the poor child in some country that's living in a straw hut and having all kinds of diseases. That's only a fool's game of the very proud of heart. So we're not going to find that the latest prophecy, the latest finds about something in the Dead Sea Scrolls or anything else under this sun is going to replace the most precious gift of God, which is grace to the humble of heart. So James tells us, under the inspiration of that Holy Spirit, in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And they quote some of that scripture in part from Proverbs 3 and 34 as well. And then Titus 2:11 states this, for the grace of God has appeared. Well, who would that be? Christ Jesus. And because Christ appeared, he is the grace of God, the word that some Christians totally ignore or just get over, speak about it very seldom, only if they have to. That grace that has appeared to mankind brings salvation to all men. So if we have the grace, which is Christ, then we have eternal life presently, because that's exactly what Christ said. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. You've received the unshakable kingdom of God in your heart. So the question is, do we believe that? If not, then we lack faith in the power of what? Well, think about it. We lack power in God's unmerited kindness towards us, his grace, his undeserved kindness, and we're still trying to earn it so that we can be part of that kingdom that has been given to us for as a free gift, just as grace, which is God's throne, that gives us faith. When we do works of law, it puts our faith where then? It puts it in the past, buried with the dead that are still working to be approved of God. However, we need to ask the next question. Where then does grace put us? Well, it puts us into life. The incorruptible, eternal life of Christ that's indestructible, that cannot be shaken, that is living and that is alive, so that we have eternal life right now in the present. Now, you have to ask the question, why would someone not teach that? Why would they go beyond what is the greatest gift mankind has ever received from their faith into another good news, literally something that's not being taught by Christ or the early apostles, something that will bring them into slavery of sin again? And that is the meaning of why Paul said that if we accept any other thing but the good news that they had taught those brothers and sisters, which is grace, then a person, he said, let them be accursed. They would be back underneath that old law and they would have all those problems. Very powerful statement. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 said, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before times eternal. In other words, long before we were born, long before we knew good or bad, long before all the problems, God has created a way to save us in Jesus Christ from times eternal, and that is by grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord abounds exceedingly with faith and love, and what is the point? Which is in Christ Jesus. And the last scripture is taken from 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, nothing else, that's the good news, and God our Father, who loves us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope. And how does he do that? Through grace. So let us be found in grace. Let it not be an offensive word. Let us humble ourselves, prayerfully reconsider that word, and if necessary, go back and restudy that word, knowing in your hearts that even though you reject yourself and you condemn yourself at times, we all do, knowing in your hearts, even when brothers and sisters reject us, we can feel that constant comfort of God in us because we stand in grace. And no matter what any man thinks on this earth, no matter what any man judges us, even ourselves, our judgment has been removed. And we know that by the Spirit that gives us comfort because we don't do it through our own merit. We haven't earned anything. We have unmerited kindness. We have undeserved kindness because our God is love. And that is the expression of his love, which is a free gift, so that we might come to understand how much God truly loves us. How powerful love is that one day will set all of the creation free from the works that it's doing right now, trying to prove itself in some sort of righteousness by what it does on this earth that can never be done, because eternal life cannot come through sinners or any work mankind can do. We must be sent a Savior, someone to pass over our sins, that has that merit, that never sinned, that paid the price for those sins. Now that is the teachings of your scriptures. No matter how you cut it, you don't have to get off in 1,000 different subjects. That is the key subject, and is the thing that keeps us in Christ, in the truth. So may the undeserved kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ be in you, And please give that to someone else, because that is a message of the Spirit, to come drink those waters freely, rejoice in those waters. Christ became poor, even though he had been rich, residing with his Father, so that we may become rich in grace, the treasures in heaven. May Jehovah bless you this day.